Hi, I'm Simone Maben, a physician, a graduate of the Air Force Academy, a professional athlete, and a certified personal trainer. This is a podcast about living a healthy, fit, and balanced life 365 days a year. The more time that passes in my fitness journey, the harder it is for me to decide whether or not some of my habits I use on a daily basis are just learned and I can't help it over time. These are the things I do versus are the obsessions. It's something I have to do or I can't survive. Or are my actions done out of avoidance of fear of the repercussions of what comes? Maybe all three of these things are true, but the issue I have is wrapping my head around how to help others in helping them identify what actions can keep them going and what may be holding them back from reaching their goals. It's common questions I get from listeners are really how to implement some basic habits into their daily life to help them reach their goals. And when I stop to think and analyze about the changes I've made over time, mentally more than physically, I think it's a really complex answer, and it's led me to come up with the topics within today's episode, which deal with body image and body dysmorphia, body insecurities. We'll talk a little bit about all of those things and how it in some way affects all of us at different extremes. I'll talk about how I fit exercise into my very busy schedule and how that can sometimes take a toll on me versus motivate me, or sometimes be a hindrance on some of my other goals. You'd be surprised to hear how exercise has affected my life in a negative way at times, or maybe you wouldn't be, I don't know. And then a common question I get from other people is just kind of how to implement different exercise routines into the program. And one listener recently asked me how to transition from CrossFit to different type of exercise routine, which I think is great because it'll fit into some of the flexibility examples I give for you to fit exercise into your routine. So we'll really go into that topic on how to transition from CrossFit to other types of exercise. If you like what you hear today, please subscribe, like, or favorite on your listening platform. Please take time to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. These opinions do not represent my employer or any associated partnerships. None of my opinions should be considered medical advice. There's no doubt that working out makes me feel amazing. I get tons of energy from working out. It makes me feel good. It probably keeps me from going to see a counselor or a psychologist. It's something I just couldn't live without. But I work out also because I want to look good. And this is something I've always considered in part of my equation for working out. I started getting up early in the morning to do home exercises probably when I was 12 years old. And I've been part of sports my whole life, but I started focusing on how I looked working out when I was 12 years old. And some of this came from initially having dreams of being a model. I had all these supermodels posted on my walls when I was a kid. Quickly learned that my genetics weren't going to align with that supermodel goal. But then I was a cheerleader through high school. There's a lot of pressure to be a certain size, of course, in cheerleading. And then even in college, that was part of my schedule. And then I started competing when I was in college as well, and I've competed for so many years at this point that aesthetics and looking good has come from many other directions other than just my choice and what I wanted to look like. And right now, I truly believe in walking the talk. And if I'm going to be a personal trainer and gain clients, how you look really is your biggest seller. If I'm going to be a doctor and talk about health and taking care of yourself, there's no doubt that how you look is going to affect people's opinion. And so for many years, almost my entire life, I've been focused on how I look to the point to right now that I can't go a day without thinking about a part of my body and how it looks. And it's really annoying. It's annoying. Sometimes you just want to let it go. And I hope some of you can understand what I mean. A lot of people, I think, assume that this only occurs in people that want to lose weight or have lost a lot of weight and have loose skin or have had a baby or are currently pregnant. You know, they assume that this feeling exists in people that aren't already fit. And any person that's in this fitness industry will tell you that that's not true. Now, I do think the extremes in which we perseverate or focus on how we look is quite varied. It can be as extreme as a body dysmorphic disorder. And to clarify what dysmorphia is, you know, this is a psychiatric diagnosis. A psychiatrist will diagnose this, will treat this, and they will take care of this if they can. And so to describe that a little bit more, it's just not being obsessed with your body and how it looks. It's to the point to where you are obsessed with how you look and perceive your body to have defects, and this consumes your thoughts several hours a day, up to the point to where people will avoid social activities. They may camouflage their body with wearing a lot of clothes or a lot of makeup. They may get a lot of procedures done. There's a lot of repeated checks in the mirrors to see what's going on, and they even avoid people seeing that they're checking themselves out. They often are looking for some kind of verbal reassurances from outside people, whether that be people they know or people they don't know. And so sometimes this gets to the point to where it affects them so much that they can't go to work or they can't actually function in daily life. Just realize that in body dysmorphia, the person is looking to normalize their body. Whereas in vanity, I guess somebody could argue my sport is vanity, we're looking to this extreme level of perfection over others. You know, it's not to look normal. Body dysmorphia is that your goal is you to look normal. You feel your body is defected and below this very normal goal. I hope that's clear. But, you know, that's an extreme. And I know some people may hear that and say, oh, wow, that's me. In that case, that would probably be a situation if you that you identify with, that it's, you know, an opportunity to seek of some counseling and some help through your primary care provider, and then a little bit of counseling through a psychologist to kind of work through some of these coping mechanisms. If that's not you, then you fit on these other ends of the spectrum. The extreme would be somebody that you're just super comfortable in your own skin. You don't care too much about what people think of you on the outside. You're very confident in your appearance. You could, if you gain a little weight, lose a little weight, don't have enough muscle, have too much muscle, it's not something that you really overly think about. I think that's a very comfortable place. Now, to be honest, just in working with people in the health and fitness industry, most people are going to fall somewhere in the middle. And I feel I find I fall in the middle, maybe a little bit more towards that extreme dysmorphia level, just because it is something that bothers me almost on a daily basis, but it's not something that keeps me from functioning. Now, I do want to point out that a lot of this is very normal. It's normal for humans to want to achieve greatness in any area of their life. Fitness and how you look, it could also just be one of those things. So you shouldn't beat yourself up because, man, I'm always thinking about you know, that next fitness goal, whether it be to get abs or to lose weight or to put on more muscle. That's normal. I think it's realistic for you to want to achieve certain looks with your body type. I think it gets to a point to where you have to have these goals to keep you motivated. I think this is very helpful. You want to balance that though, to a point to where it's not consuming you and it's not something that you beat yourself up with because you can't ever reach this goal. That's when it starts to become unhealthy and puts you in a place of continual fighting for others' satisfaction with how you look rather than you being content with where you are. And I think obviously, depending on what industry you're in, this can be a fine line. If you're a fitness model or if you're a fitness competitor and you compete in bodybuilding and figure like I do, I literally get judged on how I look. So at the there's a comes a point to where you do have to be quite critical of your looks. And this is why I say that, competing is not a sport for people that are in a place of unhealthy visualization of themselves to a point to where they wouldn't be able to take critiques from judges or other people in the industry, because you have to be very comfortable that these critiques are very objective because the sport is just about looks. Now, if you're somewhere in the middle, you're not competing, you're not getting on stage, you're not a fitness model, you're not posing in front of the camera, then you're not getting paid, you're not getting awarded, you're not getting criticized based on your physique. This extreme level of expectation that one would have for themselves to be there is just so hard on your self love and your self worth. And I think that while you're traversing your fitness journey, you'll find that when you get to a place of accepting your limitations within your genetics, within your lifestyle, within your financial situation, within what you're willing to give up and sacrifice to reach these goals, you'll find that there has to be a happy medium to where you finally accept your physique for what it is. You have to get to a place that this acceptance of your body is really the only thing that makes you happy, not outside acceptance, not compliments from others, but true acceptance of yourself. And so the takeaway is to be content where you currently are, praise yourself for the gains that you've made, and never forget where you came from. Spend less time searching for this magical answer of to reach your goal, and spend more time being present in what you currently have. The most common question I get from people is how I fit exercise into my life. And I can break this down into three parts. The first part is going to be how to revolve your priorities. The second part is going to be planning ahead. And the third part is going to be flexibility. So when I talk about revolving priorities, this is definitely number one to not only meeting my fitness goals, but meeting all the goals I have in my life. And this has been a hard lesson to learn over time. But what I've realized is that a lot of people have this saying for themselves is you have to give 110%, to everything. That's literally impossible. We can all do math. If you have five main things in your life, let's say God, family, work, fitness, running your own business or something, some kind of hobby. L literally can't give 100% to those things. It's one person, that's 500%. So if you break it out, each of those is going to get a partial percentage. And no matter how much we don't want to admit it, you can only devote a certain the amount of percentage to each one that you can truly commit at that time, and you're going to tend to redistribute energy to those things that you find to be a priority, either because you're getting pressure from the outside source, let's say your family, your work, money strain for that hobby that makes you a little extra income. You're getting some type of reason to prioritize that if it's not your own decision. Now, what you can do is decide to revolve these priorities if you have that type of flexibility within your life. So, for example, when I was in medical school and I had to study several hours a day, that wasn't a good time to start a podcast, right? Like that would be silly. Like I literally was going to fail out because med school is hard for me. Med school is hard for everyone, but I really felt like I had to like study double than everyone else. Like I barely could, eat, much less start a podcast, right? So at that time in my life, maybe med school was getting 80% of my energy and almost everything else was getting no percentage. My relationships, my family, I mean, things were just like falling apart. And maybe that was just me, and maybe it wasn't all 4 years, but it was a time in which I had to put all my energy to what I felt required the my most focus. Now, there was a time It's really difficult in the fitness industry to make your way to the top in competing. So in figure, when I first started competing, I didn't have aspirations to become a professional athlete. I started competing for fun, and I met my coach, and he said, "Hey, you have the potential to become a pro one day." And I said, "Wow, okay. Well, if somebody's saying that, that's a really good confirmation." Now, it didn't just happen the next day, and being a natural athlete my entire life, I never used an illegal substance. I knew that this was going to be a difficult path. I didn't know it was going to take quite as long as it did, but one thing that intervened in that goal was medical school. I'd started competing, and now I had to contact him after, several shows competing with him and saying, I need to take a break. I literally want to make sure I don't fail out of med school my first year, rather than put this major focus and energy into the sport that is, for me is a hobby. And so even though becoming a pro is a big deal in this industry and in the federation and in the world of bodybuilding, comparatively to getting a medical degree, for me, not important, so I had to set it aside. I proved I could make it. I said, okay, I'm going to move this back up to the top. And so I started reintegrating, competing in medical school. Well, I ran into some issues because that fitness started to kind of take over how much I could work out, how much, I'm sorry, how much I could study. I didn't realize how exhausted I was doing 2-a-days and several hours a day and being in a calorie deficit. Your brain needs all that. And it sounds silly now, even saying it, but I, thought I was, superwoman. And so I didn't realize until I started taking, time off how much more efficient I was at med school and how much easier it was for me. So I had difficulty with med school. I failed some things I shouldn't have failed. Like it really caused a lot of problems. But part of this also is because in this industry, when you start to make your way through the regional level, through the national level, there's a lot of strategy to continuing with momentum if you have it. And I had to capitalize on that. And I wouldn't change it now looking back because timing is everything in many things, but especially in my sport, I had this momentum I had to capitalize on. And so at that point, I prioritized that maybe incorrectly in some people's views, but correctly for me. Well, then transition back to, ground zero, being an intern in residency. This is my first opportunity to take care of patients by myself and not harm them. Well, not going to focus on competing, at that point. So then I started, putting my career first again. And several times in my life, I've kind of moved all these things around. And so the key, though, is that when I couldn't work out as much, let's say when I'm studying for boards and I can't get in many workouts or they're very low level, honestly, I usually just don't work out very much at all because I've learned through my medical school experience that I need to just kind of take breaks from working out so I can put all my energy into my test. Well, what I do then is I focus on the diet. Like it is really tempting to go off your nutrition plan. Oh, I'm so stressed or don't have time. Literally, you're going to eat anyway. Why not make sure that it's healthy, especially in those times of stress? And I know it's hard. Trust me, I am like a snacker, especially when I study. I've had to learn to kind of work around that if I didn't want to lose, all the efforts I put in into those times when working out was the priority. So revolve your priorities and make sure that you are continually reassessing what needs to be the top and what percentage needs to be given to each area. I really believe that that has been the primary reason I've succeeded at most of the things I've achieved because I'm not afraid to admit that something needs to go low priority at that moment. I think a lot of people are afraid to admit that. Well, you would take a much longer time reaching your fitness goal if you're not afraid, if you're afraid to let certain aspects of it falter. Again, I never said completely let it go. I gave you that tip of keeping your nutrition on point. So I never completely let go of anything. I mean, this is my lifestyle. I truly have lived a healthy lifestyle 365, throughout my life. And I believe that if you revolve your priorities, it's really going to get you there. Now, this back to the second tip of planning ahead. You have to know when your workout is going to be. ahead of time. So that doesn't mean just looking at that day when you wake up. That's not early enough. Because what if you, when you look at your day, you need to get up in the morning to get your workout in? Or what if when you look at your day, you have multiple things early in the morning and multiple things in the after in the evening, but man, there's this 2 hour gap in the afternoon. Oh, but I didn't plan, so I don't have my workout stuff. So many excuses. But had you planned earlier in the evening the day before and had your stuff prepared, boom, you'd be ready to go. Now, the same thing goes for planning for the whole entire week. Now, let's say you know you have something coming up Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Oh man, it's going to be a packed weekend. Family's coming in town, or you're going out of town. This week, I'm leaving to go to Los Angeles for this major conference that I've been preparing, my presentation for. Super excited about it, but that's in the back of my head. Oh man, I better hit it hard Monday, or I have some, major thing I have to present this Tuesday evening also. Well, maybe make sure that I have great workouts Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, just in case things don't go well towards the end of the week. If you start planning at the beginning of the week how you're going to fit all these things in, number one, you feel in control. Two, you have complete and total power on what happens that week. Limiting any catastrophic events that just come up. And in those cases, I mean, there's nothing you could do about those anyway, so don't let those stress you out. But at the same time, you will feel successful. Even if you planned, oh man, it's gonna be a crazy week, I can only get 3 workouts in. Look, check, check, check. You got all 3 of them in Monday, Thursday, Friday, or whatever it is. It really gives you this sense of success and motivation to move forward. Now, the third and final tip is to be flexible. You got to be flexible with your workouts in terms of location, duration, and type of exercise. And I know that's really hard because we get fixated and we like to do one thing. Or maybe you're new and you only know how to do one thing. Well, it's time to learn how to do something else because that's keeping you from getting your exercise in. So be willing to do exercises in different buildings. Be willing to do them outside, do them inside your home. There, when you start, tunnel visioning into one specific type of exercise and location, and that's all you can do, you're creating limitations on getting your workout in. So be willing to change the location. Be willing to get in a 25-minute workout instead of a 2-hour workout. It's a really good excuse. Oh, I don't have time, because you really only have an hour. There's been so many times in residency that I didn't have time for the kind of workout I envisioned, but I went in and got, a quick, a workout that I could do, like a shoulder lifting workout in 25 minutes. Or I went and did cardio and stretched and just felt good and worked on my mobility just because I just wanted to do something that had to do with movement to make me feel good and keep moving forward in my goal. That duration is really the most minimal part of making it to the gym or making it to your workout. It's really that you're doing something. And finally, be willing to change the type of exercise that you're committing to. I know weightlifting the best, but I also have in my back pocket lots of body weight exercises I can do, whether it be in the gym or in my house or in a hotel room or on the street in a random town. If you only like to run outside and then it's raining and snowing and that's not your vibe, well, what are you going to do? Yeah. I mean, you got to think about these things and make them fit in. So the takeaway for all of this is don't aim for perfection, just aim for doing something. Recently, I had a fellow Air Force Academy graduate ask me how she could quit CrossFit and transition into a different type of working out, specifically bodybuilding, if I recall. And this was like music to my ears. I do not like CrossFit. I do not know how to be politically correct about that because there's nothing to be politically correct about. Like, CrossFit is not liked by a lot of people. It's not like I'm special. And the primary reason anyone will give you is that there's no general foundational concepts followed in the program planning for which the workouts are created. And the other major thing that I can appreciate as a physician is the increased rates of injury in these athletes because, well, they're not even athletes, correction. In these normal people doing Olympic moves, they get a lot of injuries because they're not their neuromuscular junctions aren't primed for these type of movements that the workouts are asking them to do. It literally makes no sense. I'm sorry. So I'm not saying that you should not do CrossFit if you already are doing it, because obviously that's your decision and you enjoy it. Why would you be doing it if you didn't like it? I'm just saying, if you were to come to me at the beginning of your fitness journey and ask me what should I do, I definitely would not recommend it for all those reasons I just stated. But hey, if it's your thing, you do it. We all know everybody needs to be doing some kind of workout. So I'm not going to be the one to tell you to stop doing something that you enjoy, love, and works for you. But if you do want to quit CrossFit, it's easy to do. I think one of the reasons people like it is because it gives them a sense of community. And when you belong to a gym or you belong to a club in this quote unquote box, you really do feel a sense of camaraderie so that you can rise faster in your goals. I get that. Being a person that was part of team sports in general, I think it's kind of the same concept. So that's real. I will say that you should feel rest assured you're going to meet people that also like to work out in other gyms. It's not like that's a special thing in CrossFit. You will find that elsewhere. So don't be afraid to leave that location. Just like changing schools when you were in grade school, you will meet new friends. You will meet other fit enthusiasts and maybe even learn something new for them and build your circle. Much less, you're not going to lose those friends that you did CrossFit with. Those are your friends. So I don't think that should be something that keeps you from going. I think what keeps people from wanting to make the transition is comfort, right? We all like that comfort level when we learn to do anything well, and the idea of changing is scary. It's kind of like changing careers. Most people aren't willing to do that due to the feeling of fear. And I think the reason people are not willing to leave CrossFit is a lot of fear of starting over with doing exercises they don't know how to do, and you started getting really good at this. And so the idea of leaving something you're good at, man, I couldn't imagine. I really couldn't imagine. Honestly, I can't imagine going the other way. What if I had to transition to CrossFit? Ooh, that's a bad example because I would never do that. Ooh, what's something I would? Oh, like what if I transitioned to Spartan races? That always looks really cool. Like I'm like that's pretty athletic. There's a lot of injuries in those, and I've done medical coverage for similar events. It's a lot of, yeah, they're a little dangerous. And there's your elite athletes, and then there's the laypersons. I might do that. Right now, thinking about training for it, preparing for it, learning how to do it, I'm like, it's a little overwhelming. I imagine that's the same feeling others have leaving the CrossFit culture. Now, there's some steps to follow if you've decided you're gonna leave that. Once you've gotten over all these other touchy-feely things I've talked about, the next step is deciding, well, what is my goal? That'll help you decide where to go next, who to work with, if you're going to work with anyone, what to look up in terms of exercise. What is your goal? Is your goal to increase cardiovascular endurance? Is it to increase strength? Is it to increase your mobility? Is all of these? Is that an aesthetic goal? You want to look different. Decide what your goal is. It can be all of them. It can, but it's just have an idea because it helps the next parts of the steps I'm going to give you. Next, you want to follow a workout plan that fits one of the training styles that I mentioned in episode 4 podcast. I discussed training splits in there, and a lot of those options are somewhat detailed there. I didn't go too much in detail, but at least gives you a place to start so you can look up styles to follow, and it gives you a general guideline of things you can do to develop a program that works for you. If you feel comfortable developing your own workout plan. And I feel you should be empowered to do that. If you felt comfortable enough to do exercises like CrossFit, trust me, you have the skills to follow some simple exercise plans that are listed online. And then if not, and you truly want to start off, gung ho and do it exactly right, hire a trainer. And it can be a short-term trainer. It could say, hey, I just need to do a couple sessions with you to learn how to do these exercises appropriately. I want you to push me in a way I've never been pushed before. I'm just used to the CrossFit. It's a great idea to hire a trainer for a very short period of time, maybe 4 sessions. Something that's a good investment. I mean, heck, those boxes are so expensive to join anyway. Put all that money to a trainer. And then finally, just make sure you're going about it safely. Take your time, go slow. There's no rush. The last thing you want to do is injure yourself. I think if you really put your mind to it, you'll see that it's a lot easier to transition than you think it is, and that you have a lot of skills to be just as good at a very faster rate even than you moved up in CrossFit. It's just, that athleticism that's going to allow you to do really well. So be confident in that. So the takeaway for transitioning from CrossFit is to just go for it. You just got to make that first move. You have the power to do it. Make the move and come on to the bright side of things. Thanks for listening to this podcast on how to live a healthy, fit, and balanced life 365 days a year. If you have specific questions related to the information in this podcast, you can email me at simone.maben@gmail.com.